nice to be here. And it is such a joy to us and my family that we've had the privilege here to be again with Pastor Greer and his lovely family. And their dedication to the Lord is always memorable. And I appreciate them so much. And their love for the Jewish people has always been an encouragement to me. And just being out in these parts, we love to come out here. And we love the people of Boone and Vilas and Fosco and Bethel and El Bethel and all these other places you have out here. And I believe that God is kind of preserving a testimony for his name in these parts of the Carolinas. I really believe that. It's drying up about everywhere I go. And churches are dying out, drying up, changing the Bible, getting that contemporary music in, and all kinds of horrible things are happening. So I just commend the church that you ought to know that God is with you and he's working here and he's his name is being glorified. I want to commend you for that. Encourage you to keep on keeping on. And it is a great blessing. It's a great blessing. Then people ask me all the time, they say, now, how can you tell the difference between a full-blooded Jew, and I am one, and a full-blooded Gentile? And usually it all depends on how big their nose is. So I'll do a little experiment here tonight, this morning, and I want to show you, I want to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am a full-blooded Jew. Amen. Look at that nose I got. Isn't that blessing? That's a blessing right there. And so I was observing this congregation here, looking at you folks and analyzing as many people as I could. And I've come up to the conclusion that I'm not the only Jew here this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? You can laugh. Yeah, if you're an apostate denomination, you don't got no, you have no reason to laugh. But I will tell you, and I had so many people ask me this question, you know, why Jews have big noses? And I said, Lord, why am I being asked this question over and over and over again? Maybe I ought to look in this thing and see if maybe there's a message that I need to be preaching, you know? And so I studied it out. Of course, I knew some of the traditions of my forefathers. And would you believe God gave me a message as to why Jews have big noses? And believe it or not, you know, as I studied this out, I come to realize that this the scriptures coincide with Jewish tradition. The Jewish people believe they have a name for God, one of the many names for God in the Old Testament. You may not recognize this, but they call God the God of the long nose. Now, that might sound something from an Indian village or something, but the Jews believe in the God of the long nose. And you say, does God have a long nose? You better believe he got a long nose. He has to have had a long nose to smell the sweet smelling savor that went up into the nostrils. The Bible says he got nostrils, amen. And he had to smell millions upon millions upon millions of animal sacrifices. So you know he had to have a long nose. But every time you read in this King James Bible, whenever you read that we worship or we serve the God of long suffering, that word long suffering actually comes from an understanding of what the Jews have always referred to as long nose. How about that? Now, how does that correlate? Now, why would you say he's the God of long suffering or he's slow to wrath, which is the same analogy there? Well, because it's been proven the older you get, one member in particular of your body, the nose, grows. It's the primary member of your body that continues to grow as you continue to shrink. And if you look at a picture, just look at a picture of 20 years ago. I noticed Pastor Greer's nose has kind of gotten a little bit bigger than the last time I seen him. And if you look in the mirror, look at your nose, I guarantee you, and I'm not a betting man, and you ought not to bet if you're a Christian, amen. But I will tell you, if you look in the mirror, you will see a longer nose than you had before. And the historical fact, and you could see that it is true. So what's the idea behind this thing? Well, the idea is the older you get, the more long-suffering you ought to be, right? We ought to be more long-suffering the older we get. We ought to have more patience and more forbearance and more long-suffering. And we ought to be slow to wrath, slow to anger. So if somebody yells at you and you don't yell back, then you have a long nose. But if you're quick-tempered and you just get right, you know, out of kilter right away, buddy, you got a short nose. I guess that's what the idea about a short fuse. So I'm just trying to tell you, aren't you thankful today that we serve a God of the long nose, that he's long-suffering, he's slow to anger, and he's slow to wrath. And it's a good thing that he is, because had he not been, we'd probably all be in a devil's hell right now. In fact, was it Paul Bunyan or John Bunyan? Who's the one that wrote that book, The Puritan, Samuel? John, okay. I always get them mixed up. But John Bunyan, it's not him really. It's not him that I'm thinking about. It's the one that wrote Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Who was that? Was that Jonathan? Edwards. There we go. We're just trying to get your mind exercised this morning, all right? Now, Jonathan Edwards said analogy to what I just brought out, how God is such a gracious God, and he's so slow to wrath, and he's so patient. He said, we're sinners and we're being held up by, he gave an illustration about being held up by his fingers. Here we are, a sinner being held up by his fingers. And he said, down below is hell fire. And we're being held by the fingers of God. At any moment, at any minute, he can go like that. And we would drop into hell. But it's only because of the long suffering of God. He holds on as long as possible so that we can be saved. So we can hear the gospel. We can repent, receive him by faith, and get born again. Believe that. I think about how many times this stiff-necked, prideful Jewish person as myself, how many times I could have been killed, and so many times in my life God spared my life so that I could receive the gospel. Amen. God spared my life so I can read the word of God. So beloved, before I get into the message, quickly let me show you about this table here. We don't sell nothing here, and we would never sell anything in the house of God, but this is all based on donations to work so that we can continue the work of God, and it just helps us. But at the same time, let me just tell you some of the things that are available here that you may not see anywhere else. God has allowed us the privilege of being able to put these things out. This is a wonderful gospel tract. We have given out probably, I don't know, probably half a million, Samuel, about half a million of these tracts here. Love the Jewish people. Now, we have modified this, and we have also inside here is an offer of a free Hebrew English New Testament, and they let us put that in there. And so this, love the Jewish people. I mean, you give this to a Jewish person, you may not know he's a Jewish person, but when you give it to a person, you'll find out that he is a Jewish person because he says, you love me. And the Jewish people think nobody loves them. And so that's why over there in the Latin American countries, Samuel and our other missionary, the Salernes, the Jewish people would come to them like a magnet. They were like a magnet. And Samuel, he didn't have enough time to tell you all the blessings, but he had given one of these out to a lady, I think one of the ladies they were witnessing to. And they happened, maybe half an hour before or whatever, and they happened to be in the same line. And she saw, if I got the story right, she saw Samuel or the other one, Brother Phil, give out this track to another person. And she said, "Hey, those are the people that gave me the track." And so she said, "Hey, I'm Jewish." Oh, boy, don't you see how the Lord works? God took that Jewish lady, put her in that line. They had already given her the track, or she found the track somehow or another. And then she's able to make that connection. But anyway, I'll tell you what. You ought to give this to your Muslim associates. Give them to everybody. Let them know, because they don't know. The problem with the Muslims are they have been sold a bill of lies. Do you know that in the Quran, in their holy scriptures, when they talk about the story of Abraham bringing up his only begotten son, they use the same lingo, you know, because they're borrowing, a lot of the Quran is they're borrowed from the Old Testament, some of even the New Testament, kind of mix it in, scramble eggs, and some mythology and some hocus pocus customs and all this stuff, and there you got Quran. But they do have some of the accurate stories of the Abraham bringing up they say the only begotten son, up to Mount Moriah. But they fail to mention an important fact. They didn't mention who the son was. No mention of the name. Well, boy, that caught my curiosity. And on the bottom, you know what it says there? It says, the son that Abraham brought up was Ishmael. Now, you and I know it wasn't Ishmael. It was Isaac, the promised seed. So you understand? I mean, they think they are the promised seed. And they think the Jews are under a supreme curse of God, and they want to kill every Jew they can get their hands on to fulfill their corrupt scriptures. Now, I will say this. We need to pray not only for Israel, but we need to pray for those Arabs. Because one of the reasons they hate the Jews so much is because they're not saved. But when an Arab gets saved and he starts reading the Old Testament, he realizes he's been lied to. He recognizes that the Jews are God's chosen people, and he loves them just like you and I. We want them to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. God has allowed Hope Israel Baptist Mission to send 1 million gospel tracts to Iraq. We're a Jewish mission, and we're sending the gospel to a bunch of Arabs that hate the Jews. Because we believe if they get saved, there'll be less and less anti-Israel, But here, one day, Israel and Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and all these God-forsaken, Israel-forsaken, Bible-forsaken countries are going to receive Christ, and they're going to get saved. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it'll be a wonderful time, won't it? So, I said all that just on a little track here. Okay, but anyway, here, right here, we have the Jew First Principle book. Why we need to go to Jew First. It's pretty simple, but anyway, it's a nice book, and you'll enjoy it. All right, now, you know, ladies come to my wife all the time, and they say, "Brother Freed, I don't know where to buy my dresses anymore. I go to Sears and Roebuck, and it's just, oh, it's terrible. I don't know what to do, and I don't even know how to dress anymore." I mean, most of our ladies don't even know how to dress anymore, but right here, this book, Modesty, A Matter of the Heart. One of the best books ever written. It's been written by a Christian lady. and helped typeset our Bible, and it will be a help to you. Because Pastor Greer is not going to be having a ladies' class to show you ladies how to dress. Can I get an amen? That wouldn't be right now, would it? But you ladies can. And but anyway, these are available. And do we have a lot of these here, honey? Do we have a lot of these here? I don't know how many we have here. But we'll give this. It's free. It's free to any lady that would promise to read it cover to cover. Amen? And you may not agree with everything that's in there. But if you can follow at least 75% of what's in there, you'll be a lot happier. I believe it. Amen. And you'll be even a better testimony than you are right now. Here's a book on repentance. Preacher knows this as well as I know. You know that song we read, we sung from? You know that? They took that word repentance right out of that book. Because a lot of people don't believe in repentance anymore. But you know, if you don't repent, if you don't turn to God from idols, you cannot be saved. You believe that? So if you want a short dissertation on the definition of repentance, what it really means is turn. Turn! Well, the people say, well, the Bible said God repented. Are you telling me God repented from his sins? No. What's wrong with you? God turned from destroying this planet. And 8 were saved. He didn't turn from his sin. That's what we do. But he turned from his wrath. Amen. And we got a book here on Prophecy Unveiled. And that's what you saw there on the video. And it's a great evangelistic tool. And it also teaches you a lot about Bible prophecy. Here we have on Tabernacle. It took 1 year to put this together. And of course, Pastor Greer knows we had a revival meeting many years ago. I preached on the Tabernacle. But this thing is loaded. It's probably, somebody said it's like having a 2-year seminary course on the Tabernacle. And it's like a documentary. It has all kinds of good stuff in here. And if you get this, you also get one of these pins here that everybody wants. And even your pastor don't have one yet. He has the Israeli flag, the United States flag, and that's wonderful. But he needs to get one of these where it says underneath, "We stand with Israel." Amen. Then it'll be in the Hope Israel Club. Okay, amen. All right, then I'm sorry that Naomi was not able to bring her harp here. I know you all wanted to hear the harp, and I wanted to hear the harp, but we just couldn't work it out. I'm so sorry. I guess you'll just have to have us come here for a week revival. Amen. Okay, but anyway, here, this wonderful, we had lots of people getting them at the camp. One lady came and said, "I want to put my baby to sleep. Can I get this harp CD?" I said, "Sure. It will definitely put your baby to sleep thinking about God. Just be careful about listening to this when you're driving." All right. But it is good. It's good, isn't it? We praise God for that. All right. And then, of course, we have copies of the Hebrew English New Testament. Does anybody here out here in the middle of no man's land, I mean, comparatively, you're out here in the mountains, does anybody here know any Jewish person, any Jewish person at all, Jewish doctor? Look at that. We got, look at all these people out here, no Jews, amen. Well, if you, I will encourage you to come here to the table afterwards, get one of these. We'll give them free of charge. We're not selling this, but we want you to have this. And we'll tell you how to offer it as a gift to your Jewish associate, friend, doctor, chiropractor. I would be very careful by asking if anybody has a Jewish psychiatrist, although they are good. But I hope you don't have one, because that's why God gave you a good pastor. Amen. All right. So we got that, and we got here is a testimony of how I got saved now. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But it's the Jew in the little black book. I preached this maybe 10 years ago, something like that. And I said stuff in here I've never said ever before. Probably won't even say it today. But if you want to know how a Jew got saved, like me, then here's Brother Phil Salerni that went with Samuel to Dominican Republic. He plays a saxophone, and I know saxophones are kind of associated with jazz. Exactly right. He was saved out of a jazz band, and he was played with some of the most famous jazz musicians. But when he got saved, he said, you know what? I ain't going to throw this sax away. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Now, if you've ever heard a saxophone played for the glory of God, you will shout. And this, his daughter plays the harp, and he's playing the sax and the harp at the same time. It's good, buddy. It is good. Amen. Then we have we had annual meetings down there in Faith Baptist Camp. We had several, I mean, they call them the Grand Slam preachers. the real heavy hitters, you know. It really, there's no such thing. Every man of God is ordained of the Lord to preach. Amen. And some excel in certain areas. But we didn't have any time to preach all these guys. So I said, every one of you heavy hitters, you come up here, preach 5 minutes. And I'll tell you what they put in 5 minutes, most of us preachers couldn't get in 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what, it'll thrill your heart. And then here is one of the most requested CDs, the most requested messages the Lord has allowed me to preach. And it is titled, The Mark of the Beast. If you want to get a heavy dose of soul winning, I mean a burden for souls for your community, if you want to maybe help somebody come to know the Lord, I'd encourage you to get this. Many, 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 many people have come to know Jesus through this message, The Mark of the Beast, because people are wondering what is going on in this world. Has anybody ever asked you what's going on in this world? I'll tell you what's going on in this world. Jesus is coming. He's not coming to die. He already did that 2,000 years ago. But when he comes this time, he's judging the earth. You need to escape the judgment of God. The only way you can do that is by to be born again. All right? So I think I said enough of that. And anyway, right here, we have this menorah here. Brother Chris preached some on it. But I want to just tell you quickly, right here. This here represents seven commands of God. And the first command, as far as Jewish evangelism is concerned, you've heard some of it already, but the first one is found in Genesis 12:3. It says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curses thee. And that is a command we need to do. It's a command we need to obey. Amen. And then the next command is found in Psalms 122, verse 6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Do you know one of the reasons why this church has prospered? You say, well, we're just doing this or doing that. I believe one reason is because you have a pastor right here, and there's members here who have already told me they love the Jew. And I'm telling you right now, that is one of the reasons this church is prospering. Then it says in the same verse to pray. Oh, we need to pray. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What does that mean? Well, it means two things. Number one, one day Jesus is coming back. He will reign. Amen. He'll bring real peace to this planet. The other thing is we want the Jews to have the same peace that you and I have. When I got saved, I received the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I made peace with the Lord by being born again. We want every Jew to know that, to have that. And then the Bible says we need to provoke them to jealousy. There was another preacher preached at this meeting we just had. He preached on provoking them to jealousy. May I say, a lot of churches I come into are just as dead and just as dry as the synagogue I went to for 17 years. And when I went into the synagogue, I was already depressed, had no hope in Judaism. There was nothing that could help me. And by the time, and they would play in the minor key. And there are times that you need to reflect on the things of God. You know, it's not always fast stuff. Sometimes we need to slow it down a little bit, right? That's what I liked about the choir this morning. You folks were not in a hurry. You meditate upon what you was singing. I saw that, brother. But the Jewish people, that's all they ever do is they always sing in the the minor key. And after a while, if all you ever do is sing in the minor key, you're just going to get suicidal. Amen. Once in a while, you just got to shout it out. Amen. Once in a while, you just got to just praise the Lord. Amen. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to do that because they don't have nothing to praise God for. Now, if you've been saved like I've been saved, you got a lot to praise God for. Said, I don't know if I've been saved like you. Well, man alive, if you've been born again, you have been saved just like I have been saved. It's the same salvation that saved you. The same salvation saved me. Same Savior, same Bible, same gospel. Everything's the same. Praise the Lord. I hope you know how to be saved. If you've ever been saved, you've never forgotten how you got saved. Then the Bible says, give none offense to the Jews. God forbid we should offend the Jewish people. Bible says, that's how we know about missions. How do you know who we're supposed to reach? Well, God splits it up into three categories. He says, give none offense to the Jews. That's one category. Nor to the Gentiles. That's another category. Neither to the church of God. We're not to offend those three groups. You can see those three groups that are described in the Bible. You can see them in the Old Testament, New Testament. You can see them in the millennial kingdom. You can see them on the new earth when they get saved. Now, the bride of Christ is already saved, but Israel needs to get saved as a nation. The Gentile nations need to get saved as nations. But that's worldwide evangelism. We need to reach the Jews. That's one people. We need to reach the Gentiles, another group of people. And believe it or not, there's a lot of church members need to get saved. And just because you're a member of this fine church doesn't mean you're saved. You have to have a born-again experience. You mean it's an experience to get saved? You better believe it's an experience. I wonder, how many of you mamas would raise your hand and say, I'll never forget what it was like to give birth. Come on. You know every mother, that's right. Just give a little thought about it. Every mother will remember what it was like to give birth. Soon after, you forget about the pain and agony, and you rejoice with that little baby. Do you know that I'm going to be a granddaddy? Did you know that, brother? I'm going to be a granddaddy. So I thought, you look like you're already a granddaddy. So, now, great-granddaddy, that's right. Well, we had to wait 13 years just to have Samuel. And God gave us Naomi. 13 years God made us wait. Boy, that's why I look ancient. They think my wife's my daughter or something. Yeah, I get in trouble sometimes. Amen. Watch out. All right? And then right here it says, it says here, to the Jew first. I already mentioned that. You say to the Jew first, that sounds kind of like God's a respecter of persons. No, the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. But I can show you from the Bible, he is a respecter of nations. And you know that he is. Look how he's blessed the nation of Israel. Amen. Someone said that Israel's mentioned over 2,500 times in the Bible. He loves them. And he loves them not because they were great in number. Why did God save you and I? Nothing lovable about me. And nothing lovable about you. All I know to say, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes we preachers may kind of say it a little bit too quick, like kind of like an auctioneer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have. Maybe we need to slow that down a little bit. You realize how great it is? The love of God. For God so loved the world. You better believe it. I don't understand it. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, while the drunk is drinking, while the prostitute is doing her thing, while the heroin addict is shooting up, all these terrible things that we sinners are guilty of, while we are cursing God, while we are lying, while we're stealing, while we're killing. You're all guilty of all of some of that, amen. I had a 90-year-old lady. I was in a meeting. I was preaching about salvation. This dear 90-year-old lady, the pastor made a big mistake. And pastors generally don't tell their guest preachers what to preach. And Brother Greer didn't tell me. But unless there's something on his heart. But this is a little bit something like, Brother Freed, that lady back there, she's 90 years old, and she's the biggest tither in our church. I said, okay, I'll pray for her. What he was telling me, really, in subliminal message, was, don't you get on her bad side. Don't offend that tither. We'll go bankrupt in this church. That's what he was telling me. I said, Lord, well, I'm just going to be faithful to your word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And if that woman gets offended, it won't be my fault. It's because the Holy Spirit's put her under conviction. Amen? And so I preach, and I preach, and I preach. And preachers don't try to nail any of the word of God on individuals. They preach to the masses. It's the Holy Ghost that takes the word of God and applies it to the individual. So I preach, I preach, I preach. And I even gave the invitation and everything. And when I was done, I went back there. Do you know the first person that met me? She was already back there. She was red hot. I mean, she's mad at me. And she had a big old, she was taller than me, and she had a big long finger. I mean, twice the size of my finger. Have you ever had a 90-year-old person point their big old finger at you and say, boy? At least she could say preacher or something. But she said, boy, I got something to tell you. Yes, ma'am. I want you to know you have offended me. That was obvious. I want to tell you that I have not sinned one time in my 90-year-old life. And Brother Greer, that is the first time in my life I thought I met an angel. I really did. I thought she was an angel. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm in big trouble here. And I said, Lord, all I know to do, and God impressed upon me, Lord, just kind of impress upon me, just quote that Bible. It's the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, just quote that Bible. I said, ma'am, with all due respect to you, I would never want to offend you in a million years. But I do have to tell you this, that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have to tell you with all due respect that the Bible is true and every man a liar. And I have to tell you that the one of the greatest prophets of all time, the prophet Isaiah, if anybody was a perfect man, it would have been him. And yet he said, all my righteousnesses are filthy rags. I said, ma'am, do you know what that filthy rag was? That's the same kind of rag they cleaned the leopard sores with. And that's how much God thinks about your righteousness and my self-righteousness. It's as a filthy, no good, stinking, rotten, depraved rag. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yeah, and then the Bible says that death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. And I went on a little bit. And by the time I was about ready to finish, she took that double-pointed finger. I mean, it scared you half to death. And she said, I don't really care. What that Bible? And she just almost finished saying Bible, and she caught herself. And I told him she had a heart attack. Kind of like when Lot's wife turned back to see what Sodom was going through, and she turned into a pillar of salt. I thought this lady was frozen just like that. But there was. John Bunyan said, that 90-year-old lady is being held by the fingers of God. She's over the flames of hell at any moment, at any time. He can go like this. And there she, and then she got up, and I said, oh, he didn't let go, did he? Keeps holding on. I said, oh, Lord, maybe this will help her. Help her, Lord. And I said to her, she was quiet after that. I said to her, ma'am, I was really grieving in my heart. We preachers don't take any pleasure. God takes no pleasure. Are you hearing me? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that everybody gets saved. And if they don't get saved, that is not his fault. But I told her, you know, I said, ma'am, if you've never sinned before, you committed your own, your first sin here, this today. You have blasphemed a holy God. You've called God a liar. And the Bible says that if you sin, break God's law, you're guilty of all of it. If I was to ask you, is there anybody here that's not lied one time? I wouldn't want to embarrass you, but you know, if there's somebody here could honestly say, I've not lied one time, not one time, if there could be somebody, then when they did that, they've committed their first lie. We're born liars. When that baby is born, you know, babies, they cry when they're born. They're supposed to. If they don't, the doctor, you know, people say, we're against spanking. Well, man alive, if it wasn't for spanking, some of us have been dead. They got to spank that baby and get that baby to breathe. Amen? The first thing comes out of that baby's mouth is, wah, 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 wah. You know what that is? The baby is complaining. The baby's been fed all for 9 months, and then he comes, and the baby starts breathing, and all of a sudden, he's complaining already. Wah, wah, wah. Well, she ran out of there and broke my heart. She ran out of there and broke my heart. You know who ran after her? The preacher's wife. I can understand that. Two things happened. Number one, I never heard about her again. Number two, they never invited me back. It's okay. I don't know about you folks. If I was to look at you, a guest preacher, you could just all assume everybody's saved here. Where you folks sing, where you folks worship God, could appear to a guest preacher like myself that everybody's saved. But only God knows that, you and God, really, when it comes right down to it, right? I mean, man looks at it, man looks at the outward appearance, God judges heart. And you know whether you're saved or not. You know if you're lost. And you know if you've been playing that game. You know what the game is? Called the game of Christianity. We call it churchianity. You know if you've ever been born again. You sure do. And if you have any doubt about it, that's why the Lord said to come. Come. He calls upon you to come. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. I've seen old people get saved. I've seen people in their 90s get born again. Very rare that it happens, but it does happen. I've seen children get born again. I've seen grandmas get born again, mothers. I've seen pastors, deacons, deacons' wives, pastors' wives. I've seen sinners get saved. Amen. When I was in my uncle was killed. I'll end with this. My uncle was killed. He was ran over by an automobile. He was walking, and on the Sabbath day, he was walking, and he was run over by an automobile. He was walking, I think, to the synagogue. He died in less than 10 minutes, over 80 years old. One of the greatest rabbis, quote unquote, in the United States of America. He was my uncle. And when he died, it crushed me. I had stationed in Hawaii, and I was so far away, and they called me up and said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your uncle Shep has died. And then they told me my grandfather had died also, but they were afraid to tell me because they thought it would just ruin me. I was so crushed. So why did you tell me that he died? Why did you wait so long? I was so crushed. I cried uncontrollably for probably half an hour. I just couldn't stop crying. I was just torn up about it. And you have to understand that my uncle was the only one that gave me any hope of anything, really. And so that's why it'd be good if you could get that CD. I'll tell you all about it. But let me finish with this. I had checked all these religions about, you know, being saved their way. Of course, all religions, every religion says that you have to work to get to whatever heaven they talk about, right? Got to work. Do this, do that, do that. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so I was looking for the truth, and there in my uncle's most sacred library, my auntie said there were hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of books there. I could take it all. I could take his whole library. He had 10,000 books. But I was caught at this sacred part of his library, and there was a little black book just like this, about this size. It was caught in the middle of these very long, thin books that were written by Hebrew, in Hebrew, by hand. Artwork was done by hand, many hundreds of years old. Now these books, the sacred books that I could have had, which would have made me a multimillionaire Jew. If you think I'm a rich Jew, shake your head. I am not a rich Jew, not monetarily speaking. Though I was a poor Jew, it wasn't too long I became a rich Jew, heavenly speaking. Amen. Boy, did I become the richest Jew I ever heard about. Because I took that little black book. What was it doing there? It seemed out of place. I took that little black book. On the cover, it said these words every Jewish person knows. Holy Scriptures. I said, I know what that means. That means the first five books of Moses. I went to my auntie. I said, Auntie, can I have this? This is all I really want. I want to know God. I want to know how to talk to God. I want to hear from God. I want to know how to get to heaven. I surely don't want to go to hell. Can I have it? She said, sure you can. Well, to God, you'll be like Rabbi Shep. She started to weep and was so, you know, emotionally, encouraged that I might be like a rabbi. And she said, God bless you. Read it. I took it home with me. Little did I know what I had. I said, there's a lot more books than the first five books of Moses. Had all the Old Testament books in there. And I was taught, since I was a little Jewish boy, that Chronicles, the way they have the books set up in the Jewish Bible, Chronicles is the last book, not Malachi. But Malachi is in there, but it's just not the last book. So in Chronicles, and then I said, hey, what is this? I never heard of these books before. Uncle Shep never told me about the Gospel of Matthew. He never told me about the Gospel of Mark, Luke, and John, and what are these other books? I figured if it was good enough for Uncle Shep, hallelujah, it's good enough for me. And boy, I started reading those books. That was the New Testament. And God showed me very clearly that Jesus Christ of that New Testament was the one prophesied in that Old Testament. It wasn't soon after I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I turned to God from my false religion called modern day Judaism. I repented of that. I put my faith and trust in the saving power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus saved me, boy. Boys and girls, now you listen now. Jesus saved me. I've never been the same. I guess it might be appropriate to say that we're in this Memorial Day weekend. Do you know where God saved me? When I was in the military. I was in the military. God saved me there. A lot of things happened when I was in the military. The greatest thing ever happened to me is when God saved me. And I pray for our soldiers that many will come to know the Lord, and many have, because they are in the military. They realize that dependency must be upon God. But this morning, you know, do you have what I got? I got eternal life. I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know it. Do you know it? Do you really know it? If you have any doubt about it, this morning would be the greatest time for you to come and be sure that you're saved. So let's bow our heads now. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We ask you, Lord, to do a work. And you have already done a work in the hearts of these people. Not only to give them a burden for helping us, supporting our efforts, supporting us, seeing that we might be more able to effectively win the Jews to Christ. They may be more zealous to win souls around this community. But even this morning, as the preacher comes, and I pray that, you know, in a congregation this size, Lord, there's surely got to be some people that have never been saved. Just statistically speaking, there's going to be somebody unsaved here. Lord, I pray. I can't force them to come, Lord. I'm not going to manipulate them to come. But Lord, the Lord Jesus can come. And if he comes and they're not saved, it'll be eternally too late for them. I pray, Lord, they'll be saved, born again, receive eternal life. Right now, I pray, Lord.